morning. Have you ever started a project and left it in the middle and didn't finish it? Guilty? We're going to talk about finishing today. I always remember in school, you know, you have these grades and you think you want to get an A or a B or a C, and if you didn't do too well, you get a D. Everybody's afraid of that dreaded F. So you drop out, and what do you get? An I. Incomplete. Been there, done that. But we're going to talk about finishing the project. In the case of Moses, there was a place for God to dwell. In the case of Nehemiah, there was a project of restoration. In the case of the Apostle Paul, there was a pillar of truth to erect. In the case of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was a penalty to pay. If you follow these things, at the end, you would find that word, finished. Let's begin with Moses, for instance. Exodus chapter 40. Verse 33 says, "And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and of the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate." So Moses finished the work. What work? You have to go back to chapter 25. And God's instructions are, verse 7, "Onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and of the pattern of all the furnishing. Let them make me a place." Now, we're not going to study the tabernacle today, but you know how important that project was. But God said to this man, "There needs to be a place. My people are scattered. There need to be a place where I may dwell among my people." Beloved, when God gave Moses these instructions, I am always touched by how meticulous the Lord was, how specific he was concerning not only materials, but also of sizes and of colors. And you would notice that God said to him, after giving him all these instructions, "See that you build it after the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. You do not have the leeway, you do not have the license to change anything." And you think of the ark, and you think of the materials, because they were so expressive and so figurative of our Lord in many instances. And sometimes, when you think of the building itself, it speaks so much of the church. But when you think of the materials, why were you going to build this ark? Why do you want to build it with wood and with gold? Because it speaks of the humanity of our Lord. And you'll notice it's a special wood. It's a desert-grown wood, acacia wood. And it must be overlaid with gold. Why gold? Because gold speaks of the deity of our Lord. You think of the curtains and you think of the blue and you think of the heavenly colors. And on we could go, but like I said, we're not going to speak on the tabernacle. We're going to speak on the work. And when you get to the end of Exodus, again, you can see the man Moses receiving compliments. The man Moses doing exactly what God told him. And on in chapter 40 of Exodus, you find this recurring phrase, as the Lord commanded Moses. As the Lord commanded Moses. Is it any wonder then, when the Lord speaks of Moses, he speaks of him as his servant, but more than just a servant, he speaks of him as our faithful servant. The man Moses was faithful in all of God's house as a servant, and he finished the work. He erected the tabernacle. And we know that God was well pleased because when it was finally done, the Shekinah glory came over it. For that represented the presence of the Lord. Build me a place. Build me a tabernacle that I may dwell among you. What the Shekinah glory was for the tabernacle, we think of another temple, another tabernacle where God is dwelling. He's dwelling in that tabernacle today. The tabernacle of his people. The church in the midst of the church. Paul, writing concerning the church in the book of Ephesians, he describes it as the habitation of God through the Spirit. God is pleased to dwell among us. God indwells his people by his Spirit, and that's what the Lord Jesus said, and I go away, the Comforter will come, and he will abide with you. But we need to understand that in this building, we do not have the luxury of modification. We can't say, I don't like acacia wood, I'm going to use gopher wood. No, gopher wood is what was used in the ark. But here, we need that acacia wood. You can't say, well, gold is too expensive. Now I got to put some brass. No, you can't use brass. You have to use gold. Because if you make changes, you distort the picture. If you make changes, you displease the Lord. And I don't understand why we want to make changes today. We want to make changes in things we don't like. And we talk about bringing the church into the 21st century. Well, the church was here before. God was here. And you can't surprise him. And you cannot improve on what he has done. See that you build it after the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. Build it according to all that I show thee, Exodus 25:9.
See that you build it after the pattern shown thee in the mount. Verse 40. Picture of the church. Build it according to the pattern. The Bible says that you, beloved, you and I, the church of Jesus Christ, we are the temple of the living God. That's the church. And you and I, as individuals, we are our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. He abides within us. Oh, let us seek to build and make it a place, a happy dwelling place and habitation of God, for He indwells us by His Spirit. A place to dwell. Moses finished the work. And God was pleased. How is He with what He has committed to you and I? As we involve ourselves in His service, first of all, are we working to its completion? And are we following the plan? I remember when I was a kid, we used to sing in Sunday school. That's a long time ago. We are building day by day in our work and in our play. Not with hammer, blow, and blow. Not with timber. Sawing, sow. Building an house. Not made with hands. Following Jesus' perfect plans. Little builders. All are we building for eternity. Then build on the rock. And not upon the sand, a place to dwell. There is the pattern, and there's the purpose, and there's the people. God's people. He wants to dwell with His people. He wants us to build according to His plan, for His purpose, that He might dwell. Dwell among His people. Project number one. A place for God to dwell. And the word is finished. Moses finished the work. Then we go over to Nehemiah. And there is a project of restoration. Why restoration? Because there was already a wall built, but it was broken down. And what a burden this man of God had. You know, sometimes we only think of ourselves and our environment. Oh, I have escaped that and I am not looking back. And here was a man who was doing well. He was in Shushan, the palace. He was the king's cupbearer. He had a decent job and a decent existence for a Jew. But something happened. Some of his brethren came from the old city. And he inquired, how are things back home? The news is not good at all. It was a sad report as they told him of the conditions. What were the conditions? The city lieth waste. The wall is broken down. And the gates are burned with fire. The gates are destroyed. And instead of saying, well, I'm glad I get out of that. I'm glad I escaped that. No, he was burdened. Because, you see, that was a special city. He was burdened because it was not just another place. He recognized that that was the place where God was pleased to put his name. It was the place, he said, of my father's sepulcher. And he was sad at the news. But he went beyond being sad. He did something about it. And when you want to see revival, beloved, when you want to see a work done, do what Nehemiah did. First of all, he prayed. And I don't have to talk too much about prayer. A lot of us had a lot of teaching this weekend on the subject of prayer. But let me just say this. What a way to begin. He began with prayer. And he began the way the Lord taught us to pray. First with worship. First with worship. It came to pass, verse 4 of chapter 1, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the Lord God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awe-inspiring God. What a way to start a prayer. Acknowledging the majesty of God. And then he went into confession. He recognized that the reason why they were held captive, the reason why the city was destroyed, the reason why they were scattered, was because they had sinned against the Lord. Let me say something about corporate sin. Sometimes we can push our chest out when somebody falls and say, well, oh, that's him, that's not me. But Nehemiah didn't do that. As he went before the Lord in confession, he said, not the people, but both me and my father's house have sinned. That because he recognized the oneness of God's people. The oneness. And that's something we need to understand. It happened with Israel as they went up against Ai and they were defeated. But it was only one man who stole the Babylonish garment. But the whole company suffered defeat. So he confessed his sin. Both I and my father's house have sinned. You begin with worship, the acknowledgement of who God is, confession of our failures, and then he makes his petition before the Lord. That's in chapter 1 of Nehemiah. And this is the beginning of a marvelous work, because there is a project to be restored. And we cannot sit by and see the work of the Lord crumble around us and not be moved. We cannot sit by and see the name of the Lord being ridiculed. And we cannot sit by and see so many pretenders out there not taking the work of the Lord is serious. We have to be moved. Some of the things that pass off today for the work of the Lord. We take a look and we are moved in our spirit. The city lieth waste. The walls are broken down. And the gates are burned. He was visibly moved, so much so that the king noticed. But you notice he didn't go to the king first. He went to the Lord first. And he asked the Lord to give him favor in the sight of this man. And I don't care how powerful your boss is. I don't care how powerful your leader is. We need to go to the Lord first. We go to the Lord first. We make our requests known unto Him. We present our petitions to Him. And that's the way He started. How did He end? Well, let's see how the project ended in chapter 6. In verse 15 it says, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard of this, and all the nations that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that the work was wrought by our God." Finished. What a difference, beloved, when we approach the work of the Lord in the name of the Lord and by the power of the Lord. When we approach what God has given us to do as the work of the Lord and lean wholly and totally on Him. It doesn't say we're not going to have problems, because Nehemiah had plenty of that. There will always be the Sanballats and the Tobiah and the Geshems. There will always be those. There will always be those who say, "Well, you can't do that. You're nothing. What's your qualification? You are not qualified to preach and to teach the Word of God." There will always be those. What are you going to do? Well, look at all the garbage there. You can't do anything. And if a fox go up against that, it's going to break down. You can't do it. But when you read through this book, we have words like these. The people had a mind to work. You had leadership in Nehemiah when he called on the people and said, "Let us arise and build." You have scenes like, here's a man taking the lead, working with one hand and defending with the other hand. And God honored his commitment. And the Lord finished the work. It was the Lord who finished it. So much so that the enemies, they marveled. They marveled because they said previously, it can't be done. It can't be done. Are we discouraged because we don't get support? There is no encouragement from those around us. Are we discouraged when they say it can't be done? What if we are sufficiently burdened? And if we are sufficiently committed, then we will finish. We will finish that project. We will restore honor and glory to the name of our Lord. It is unacceptable, as far as Nehemiah was concerned, that the place where God was pleased to place his name, it's lying waste, it's nothing. It's a broken down city. It's desolate. The walls are broken down. The gates are burned. The king saw his passion. The king saw his burden. What do you need? Oh, beloved, what do you need? It's the king. He says, first of all, I need time. So Take all the time you need. You tell me when you're going to come back. Take all the time you need. He said, I need more than time. I need materials. Here's a note. Take it to the keeper of the forest. Get what you want and go and build. Did he love those people? I don't think so. But the man of God went to God first. And he asked that he would give him favor in the eyes and in the sight of the king. Let us arise and build, beloved. There will be resistance. There was in Nehemiah's case. There will be opposition. Most of all, there will be a call to compromise. What's the urgency? Why are you so committed? Slow down. As a matter of fact, why don't you come, let us have a conference. Let us talk things over. You see, they tried all the hostility. It didn't work, and now they want to compromise. Now they want to talk. Oh, beloved, that's Satan's way, you know. He's not going to make everybody out there. He's not going to make everybody out there a robber, everybody out there a thief, everybody out there a murderer. Some are cultured and educated, and they are philosophers. They want to talk. Let's see if we can find common ground. Let's get our heads together. Let's see how we can delay this project. Nehemiah didn't buy that. He was totally committed to the Lord, totally committed to rebuilding the wall. And so he said to them, he sent back a strong message. He says, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down to you. You cannot go down to the valley of Ono, beloved. We have to stay on the project. Why should the work cease while I come down to you? That's why we have so many unfinished projects. We have left our station. We have gone down to the valley of Ono. We have been compromising. We haven't been able to finish what the Lord has given us to do. We need again, beloved, that singleness of purpose. Let us build. Let us build. There's a project of restoration. Let us build. Let us rise up and build. And let us not listen to the voice of compromise, that which will delay the project. Revival starts with prayer, beloved. And prayer begins with the acknowledgement of who God is. And in confession, while we are in this state, and then we are in a position to make our requests known unto God. Nehemiah finished the wall in 52 days. Honor is restored to the city. He felt so good about making that place a place where God can be happy about, the place where the name of the Lord can be honored again. Because of his burden, because of his commitment, and because of his attitude of non-compromise. Why should the work cease while I come down to you? I'm not coming. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. The end result was the work was finished. The wall was rebuilt. And they gathered together for a time of thanksgiving, a time of exalting the Lord, a time of giving praise to the Lord. Finished. Finished in record time. We can do so much, beloved, if we are committed. We can accomplish so much with the help of the Lord if we have that burden. Let us arise and let us build a place to dwell, a project of restoration. I call this one a pillar of the truth. Here is a man of God, called especially to the work of building. The Apostle Paul. He said when it pleased the Lord, in Galatians 1, he says, when it pleased the Lord, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, I took a year. No, I took 6 months. No. He says, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Immediately, beloved. And that's the urgent call of the Lord, because there is a pillar of truth to be erected. And Paul says, I am that wise master builder. What was his desire? What was his purpose in life? We get a glimpse into his commitment. Well, first of all, when he was saved, as soon as he was saved, he asked the Lord, what will you have me to do? And that characterized his whole ministry. From that moment on, we get a glimpse into the man's commitment in Acts chapter 20. And he's calling the Ephesian elders together. It's kind of a farewell message. And he talks about his commitment and he says, you know, I don't think I'll see you again. But this is what I want to say to you. This is my commitment. He says, I don't understand what's going to happen to me. In verse 22 of chapter 20 of Acts, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. So I'm going to take the other road. No. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish. It's about finishing, beloved. I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I have a job. I have a church building. God has made me a wise master builder. The foundation is laid. That is Jesus Christ. There can be no other foundation. The Lord has made me a builder. And I need to build on that foundation. And I need to finish my course. I can't quit. I can't compromise. I can't leave the work. I have to finish this project. Why do I call this a pillar? A pillar of truth? Because to this man was revealed the truths of the New Testament church. To him, God gave that special revelation. And he had to build. And he said to Timothy that you need to understand how you need to behave yourself in the church. How you need to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church, which is the ground and the pillar of the truth. We don't care for doctrines, so many of us. But the apostle was concerned about doctrine, what he built. We involve, beloved, in building, and we don't have the luxury, we don't have the authority to change anything. We can't modify what God has given us. We can't change anything. As he said to Moses, he's saying to us, see that you build it after the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. He said the same thing to Paul. Paul is building on the revelation that he received. And he made enemies the same way we'll make enemies. He taught the Galatians. He taught them salvation by grace through faith. And they accepted it until somebody came in and told them something else. And he said to them, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obtain the prize? What happened? Their attitude changed towards him after somebody came and poisoned what he had told them, poisoned their minds. He says, when I came to you first and I preached to you the gospel of the grace of God, if it were possible, you would have taken out your eyes and you would have given them to me. Now am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? A lot of it is happening today. We don't want the truth. We're stepping on toes and say, well we're not going to have this guy back. He talks too much of the truth. I guess it's the truth and we don't want it. We want these fancy people to tickle our ears, to itch our ears. We don't want that stuff that you're talking about. That's too heavy. Paul had that problem with the Galatians. But his desire, that he might finish the work. Finish what God had given him. And to finish his course with joy. He encouraged the Philippians by telling them that he who began a good work in you will perform it or will complete it, perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Did he finish well? 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 6 says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Finished my course. I have kept the faith. He is not going to get an incomplete grade. There's no incomplete grade here. Well done, good and faithful servant, is what he'll get. He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I have finished my course. The doctrine of the church is complete. That's what Jude said in his epistle. The faith, the whole body of truth, once and for all, delivered to the saints. There's nothing to be added. We cannot make any improvement in what God has given. And we know who God gave it to. He gave it to Paul the apostle. So much so he says, lest I get a big head, he said in Corinthians. Because of the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh to keep my feet on the ground. He did a good job, and we have to rush this because our time is up almost. My watch is fast. He says, be careful. The foundation is laid. He said, be careful what you build there on. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Our works are going to be tried, beloved. All that we do is going to be tried by fire. It's going to be tried by fire. Not for quantity. It's not how busy you've been. It's going to be tried for quality. What sort it is. So be careful what you build. And see that you build it after the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. A pillar of truth. Then there's a penalty to pay. And we sing it, don't we? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Moses was a great servant, but he had faults. Nehemiah was a committed servant, but he had faults. And the great apostle Paul did well, finished well, but he had faults. But there's one man who finished the work without a fault. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. John 19 and 30. You know where we are going. He cried with a loud voice. Finished. The work of redemption is complete. The penalty is paid and paid in full. Now Paul can say, through him, all that believe are justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. Finish. You follow the life of the Lord Jesus. And you'd forgive me for going 5 minutes over, beloved. Please do. Because I can't leave this out. You follow his life after he was talking with that woman at Sychar's well. His disciples came and wondering if he had anything to eat. He told them, I have food to eat that you don't know anything of. Did somebody brought him food? No. He says, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That was his commitment. To finish the work, and many tried to deter him. His enemies tried to deter him. His own friends tried to deter him. Peter said, that be far from you, Lord. You can't do that. Get behind me, Satan. The cup which my Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink it? Now is my soul troubled, John 12. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. The prophet said he set his face as a flint, steadfastly. He cannot be deterred. There's a penalty to pay. There's a people to redeem. And even before he went up that skull-shaped hill, in his prayer to his father, John 17, says, Father, I have finished the work. I have glorified thee. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Good as done, totally committed. So on the cross, he cried, It is finished. It's done. Now you and I, beloved, we rest on a finished work. We don't have to do anything for salvation. We just have to rest on that work. It's finished. Done is the work that saves, we sometimes sing, once and forever done. The difference between our Lord and those high priests under the Levitical system, as they went in, they had no place to sit because their work was never done. And they accomplished that this year, but they had to come back in a year and do it all over again. They couldn't sit because their work was never done. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The work of redemption is finished, beloved. It's done. All we have to do is believe and trust him and rest on that work. God again gives his approval. We see the approval of Moses, and God, the Shekinah glory came and rested over the place. We see the approval of Nehemiah, how there's praise to the Lord, and the word of God was opened up. We see the approval of Paul as he was going home to his reward. We see the approval of our Lord. The third day, God raised him from the dead, and we hear him say, "Behold, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death." Finished. Moses finished the tabernacle. Nehemiah finished the wall. Paul finished his course. Best of all, our Lord Jesus Christ finished the work of redemption. That's what we hear. Because he finished that work. God help us to pursue what he has given us to do. To pursue it with might and main. To pursue it not looking back, but looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. God bless his word to hearts. Father, we thank thee for bringing us together again today. We thank thee for the privilege of beholding our Lord, calling on our souls to behold him, to see him, to get a glimpse of him. What a beautiful sight we behold as we look into the face of our Lord. We thank thee that thou art building a spiritual house. We thank thee that we are living stones in that building. Give us grace as living stones to honor our commitment to thee and to be involved in the worship and also in the service of our Lord. Bless thy word to our hearts. Encourage the hearts of God's people here. Remember thy people everywhere. Keep them, strengthen them. And let us arise, each one of us, and build. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.